going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go. Hour 3, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan, going to 6:30 tonight. Rangers pregame taking over. First pitch at 7:05. It's like a proper Cowboys Monday, though, with all this football chatter going on and in reaction to the draft. And for more on that, here's Eric Chiafalo in football's finest.
Okay, so is this passing the sniff test for you guys, the alleged prankster for Shedeur Sanders and a handful of other prospects in this class? I believe Tyler Warren was one of them, the Penn State tight end, got the prank call that the Jets were taking him at 7, but he didn't actually go until pick 14 to the Colts. But the Shedeur Sanders prank was one that went super, super viral, where apparently it is the 21-year-old frat star son of Jeff Ulbrich, who was the interim head coach with the Jets last year, now defensive coordinator of the Falcons. The NFL has all these phones that they send out to the prospects that is just like only the NFL is supposed to know the number, and the only time that thing's going to ring is when a team's calling you kind of deal. And they're saying that Ulbrich, the coach, had his iPad open at one point when his son walked in the room and saw the phone number of Shedeur Sanders and a couple of other guys, wrote it down, and then pulled off the prank during draft weekend, ball sacking Shedeur Sanders while he was having an epic fall for the ages in the draft. Now, I'm trying to figure out, one, does that pass a sniff test on Coach Ulbrich? Apparently, he's not going to be in trouble for anything here. I guess negligence is the best thing that you can give him there, and potentially even worse than that. But then I wonder about the punishment for the 21-year-old kid. I can't imagine Ulbrich was very happy about that. That phone call to your son. Mm-mm. You name him Jax, by the way. You're kind of asking for it. J-A-X.
Jax Ulbrich.
It is a mischievous name.
You kind of get what you pay for on that one. But this feels like a 21-year-old ass whooping.
You're going belt to ass on a 21-year-old over this.
I'm wondering if there's a belt to ass situation here. I mean, what are you going to do? Take his phone away?
Yeah, I guess I don't have any reason to believe otherwise, so it seems reasonable, like curious kid, bad idea. You know, pulling pranks just for the fun of doing something you're not supposed to be doing, I guess.
Heck of a prank. I mean, I will say, heck of a prank. But then you also have the thing, like back in the day when we were doing prank calls, we were doing it for the love of the game. Then you go ahead and go for the clout on the internet and post the video of you doing it. I mean, schmuck of the week.
So he posted it?
Yeah, that's how he figured out. Like, somebody was videoing him doing it, and so that's how it was pretty easy to identify who it was. They're in their Ole Miss frat star stuff, and
it was like pranks. A friend of his that did the call, and then Jax Ulbrich is next to him, and people were able to take that image and, you know, put two together. Out. There's another video that's circling of a different guy that prank called Isaiah Bond, the Texas wide receiver that went undrafted. Yeah. Then Tyler Warren, the Penn State kid, ended up also supposedly getting pranked. Chase Lunt, an offensive tackle locally here from Arlington Martin. Also, like, this apparently happened to multiple players.
I'm just surprised this generation has it in them, you know? prank phone calls was the source of endless hours of fun for me in my youth and probably up until 21 years old, 22 years old.
Yeah, Star 67?
I was sending off prank calls even into the Star 69 era.
Wow.
It was Star 69 situation.
Yeah, I mean, the prank was pretty... I wish they would have taken it a little bit further, though. And like actually done it right, pass the phone around. Hey, this is our head coach.
Everybody has a turn talking.
Get the owner, you know, really, really do this
thing
right.
Fired up to have you, man. Real fired up.
We'll have our HR lady on the phone with you in about 5 minutes to get those the flights scheduled. We'll see you in New Orleans with the Taints here. Mm. Very, very soon.
Saints.
Yeah, I would try to figure out a way to monetize this, but I guess you can't, right? If you're going to pull off something like this, we are living in a butt crack and ball sack era where these monetized Twitter accounts are trying to like come up and get the engagement and actually get a nice check off of a bit like this. But I think you did this just for the joy of piling on somebody who's at the center of the American media cycle at the time.
Yeah, and I don't even think these kids realized that it was about to go to the fifth round on this thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuz I don't know if it was night 1 or night 2 that the prank call happened. I think it was night 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean certainly just a mean thing, but it's college youth and inexperience, and you can do some foolish things. I don't think it's like the craziest, oh my gosh, this kid has to be reprimanded in some huge way. I just imagine looking at Jeff Ulbrich on the sidelines, he doesn't seem like a guy who's tolerating BS like that.
No.
Yeah, so it's a bad day to be Jax Ulbrich.
Yeah, I think the punishment is, as the son of somebody working in the NFL, you have a chance to work in the NFL one day. I think those probabilities went through the floor.
You know? Oh, yeah. The nepotism climb into the coaching ranks is probably going to be an all-for-naught situation.
Yeah. You're going to get that Nepo baby interview here at some point in the next 2 to 3 years after college.
Was supposed to, at least.
Yeah.
Not anymore. You'll be shagging balls for the rest of your career. Unpaid, pal.
Do you think there's any chance that the league would take a draft pick away from Atlanta?
I think that's going too far. I really do.
I don't think you can put any blame on the guy who... you know, accidentally leaked the numbers, you know, and I think but you're taking
responsibility.
I mean, it's definitely gross negligence because on Pops' part. Unfortunately, he's trusting his 21-year-old Jax to have some couth and walk by the iPad without doing anything.
Yeah, I just wonder if, in fact, that this is going to be one of those messages like, okay, we're not going to
be more careful.
Yeah, we're not going to share numbers that only the general manager will have the number for the draft picks, and that's it. You know, and you're basically sending a message like, listen, you do this again, we're gonna take more draft picks away. I just, you know, it would definitely get my attention if all of a sudden that my third round pick was gone because of something.
Oh my gosh, that would be
pretty heavy handed.
So were all the pranks across the draft attributed back to this dude, Ulbrich?
So Tyler Warren's, they think, might have been, but. I mean, the video that I saw, the Isaiah Bond prank, was definitely not the same kid. So I don't know how they end up getting access to these numbers. It's really, really weird.
Yeah. I mean, it is just one of those kind of random, ridiculous stories.
Like the intent, even if an iPad and stuff was open, the kid went and looked at the numbers and even wrote them down.
Yeah.
You know, that's that part of it. Like, if you're the dad, why would you just have your iPad laying around with numbers, you know, up and open unless you went to his desk?
Thought you could trust your 21-year-old.
You probably trust your kids.
Yeah. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
But, and the kid, I mean, big time numbers in terms of that video. I know they shouldn't have posted the video to obviously wrap themselves out on it.
Yeah,
but
it was terrible decision making.
Skyrocketed into the views. Good for the social accounts.
I mean, that's a way worse decision than just deciding to prank the guy.
Doing the
putting
video.
It on social media.
Yeah, it is pretty dumb. The whole thing is dumb.
How old are you? They're 21.
21.
Yeah, 21 years old. But I mean, that's prime age for stupidity, I would say. Now, we do have to get into the Bill Belichick CBS Sunday Morning interview.
Isn't this hilarious? Hell.
This is unbelievable.
Okay, so my theory is he's got a crazy girlfriend that a lot of people do when they're like 23 to 25, right? And in that age, crazy girlfriend exposes her craziness to your social circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all remember this from that time in our lives. And by the time you're 30, crazy girlfriend has retired from being shamed publicly, and she stopped acting so crazy in the view of others. But right now... Bill Belichick has this young dime piece. She's going through her crazy coming out party in her early to mid-20s that all these crazy gals go through. Now, by the time they're my age, you don't run into these gals very often, right? Mm-hmm. They turn into crazy cat lady. They turn into Karens with no friends, right? But at this point in her life, she's still super hot. So, and Bill doesn't know what to do. You know, if Bill ever knew what to do with a woman of this caliber who also happened to be a control freak and a little unhinged at times, he doesn't now, you know.
It's not good.
He's like, you kidding me? I'm not going to tell her to stop. You see what I'm getting over here, guys?
Yeah, that's true. Now, here was the interaction that has gone viral where he's sitting down. Bill Belichick is an exclusive CBS Sunday morning interview. The girlfriend slash assistant slash coach on staff, social media, like she's wearing a lot of hats here. And she is listening a few feet away every question that's being asked. And the guy asks about how Belichick met the 24-year-old.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the philosophy.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Okay, that seems like a pretty standard question.
Well, initially,
we heard about how they met.
Yeah, supposedly on an airplane, right?
Right.
Supposedly, yes. But now the conspiracies are out because now we're wondering, okay, was that even a real story?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of SEX worker stuff floating around here.
Yeah, and she kind of brought this on by saying we're not talking about this. Go, even if it's not true, just say you met on the damn airplane.
Just go airplane, yeah.
Just hold the line.
Yeah, we did the airplane deal.
It came out, we met, we ended up sitting next to each other in 2021. We developed a nice communication. We liked each other, blah, blah, blah. Just run with that.
This chick is super alpha, though. I mean, how about
she's running his life.
Yes. And he kind of loves
it. To her.
Or you think he likes it?
It seems like he does.
The glare.
I think he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, because he
doesn't want to give it
up. She's got the crazy eyes, bro.
Like, her job is girlfriend slash assistant, and she's hitting her job out the park.
You're Bill Belichick. How many Super Bowls have you won? Six?
More.
Yeah. I mean, that's six. Humiliating.
As a head coach, six.
You're starting to look like the old guy who's got some young assistant who's running your life for you. It was a horrible look for Belichick. I would bail on this instantly. I don't know if there's anybody, you know, he's probably the old Bill Withers song. You know, you can use me up because he's just having a good old time. Like, my buddies are coming around telling me this gal's, you know, not good for my public image, but I don't give a crap, dude. Yeah.
I was digging the fact that he had he was cleaning the garage,
the
look.
Beat up.
Like,
yeah.
He had the ripped up Navy
sweater,
football shirt.
Crew neck.
And what was even weirder is she had a Navy football shirt on, too.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
They match.
Yeah.
She might dress him. I don't know. This is a weird deal.
If she can't dress him with that shirt, like his dad coached in that shirt.
Maybe she's into that. I don't know. 50s.
Well, did you hear the part where Belichick got the truth serum there? They gave him they shot a dose of the truth serum into his body in the middle of the interview.
Oh, what happened?
And this is actually what's going on in his brain.
My girlfriend Jordan is the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, her and those dinger pills that I eat like Skittles.
How did you guys meet?
On Backpage. She was selling her butt, and it turns out I was in the market for some butt. Now she's my unofficial defensive coordinator. I mean, the shit we have to put up with for an occasionally hole, am I right? If you're going to have a handler, then she best be a smoking hot succubus, am I right? Me and Jordan get along great. Sure, she might beat the hell out of me from time to time, but it's usually because I deserve it. It's kind of like that movie Misery. She's just as psychotic, but she's hot and knows how to use Instagram. Jordan makes me Instaface pictures because she loves me and my brand. It has nothing to do with her being a controlling bitch hellbent on fame and fortune. I'll be honest, if our defense struggles this year, she might be taken over. I've always wanted a DC I was sleeping with. Lord knows Matt Patricia couldn't get me up.
So, I mean, that's the real honesty there, that behind the scenes he was willing to share. But on camera, he kept it very Bill Belichick, coach speak, tight lip.
It's a bad look. I think
she
that's why
hates
they...
you.
Yeah, Yeah.
One time I was way out of line.
I mean, the only way this works is if the older guy is kind of like daddy, right? Not like daddy like dad, but, you know, like.
The alpha.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm going to show this little girl the way the world runs right here, and I'm in charge, and she's obviously
respecting
my wisdom. I've been on this planet for 50 more years.
He knows how close he is to having the need for a diaper changer, and
he's just trying to play out the string.
Willing to let go of other things.
I think he probably likes her assertiveness, how she's kind of like, you know, everything about her is.
We're not talking about that.
It is front. A surprise, yeah. Though.
Hey, she said so.
Because he's Mr. like, hey, this it's my way or the highway guy. No. Now all of a sudden he's down.
I think he's always been looking for a gal that would be like that, and he found him one.
Yeah, checkmate.
Real take charge kind of gal.
Take charge gal, yeah.
You think she dresses up in those leather suits with the little whips and stuff?
I don't know about it.
I think, yeah, he's probably crawling
around. I'll say this, Bill's a lot of fun.
He's probably getting ball gagged and
the
whole nine.
What do you think the safe word is on the Cincinnati?
Cincinnati!
Hey, we got the Chris Young Show every Monday at 4:20.
Let's get his thoughts on this.
Let's get serious and sportsy, and we got CY coming up next here. It's the G-Back Nation.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here we go, G-Bag Nation, home of the Rangers. It's time to talk with Chris Young here, the Chris Young Show every Monday at 4:20. It's brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and by PlayScore, and CY joins you now here on The Fan. A good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey guys, I'm all right. How are you all?
We're doing good. Thank you. Wish the Rangers had won the series this weekend. And I'm wondering what your reaction was to how yesterday's game ended.
Well, just independent of the end. I mean, there's times where you're going to lose a game in weird circumstances. And certainly, a Little League home run like that, it's sloppy. It's not the way you want to end a game. But we didn't lose the game because of that. I mean, we had opportunities to score and take the lead, put the game away, and we didn't capitalize. And to me, I always look back on those things. That's why we lost the game. The way we lost was ugly, but it wasn't the reason we lost. And I think there's two, you know, distinguishing between those is important. So I don't get caught up in the way we lost per se. It's, you know, it's the fact that we didn't capitalize on the opportunities we had, which has been a theme for us. And we've got to correct that. We have to correct that if we're going to be the team that we expect to be. We've got to correct that and start improving and start putting teams away in the middle of the game so that it doesn't come down to the end of the game.
Very interesting lineup here today. Pillar leading off, Higashioka second, Langford. What do you think of this, and how much input are you having with formulating these lineups?
Well, I was in Bochan's office earlier today. We discussed it a little bit and kind of walked through his rationale, and I support it. I fully get it that right now, kind of the traditional lineups that we've been running out there haven't been working. And we're facing a pitcher tonight who we really haven't had a lot of success against. And, you know, Boch wanted to mix it up and felt like this was the right way to do that, to kind of give some quality at bats at the top of the lineup. Some of the guys that are going a little bit better, even though they may have been hitting at the bottom of the lineup, especially Higgy and Jonah a little bit, to put them in a spot where they're going to face Sears earlier in the game. And I think it's important to do, and I support Boch with it. You know, I think the main takeaway is that what we have been doing over the last, you know, couple weeks has not necessarily produced a ton of runs. And this is a way to mix it up and signal to the players as well that we've got to make some changes here to get results. And I don't know what changes specifically are going to work, but we've got to try some different things. And, you know, hopefully this will spark something with the group.
Is there any chance? I mean, I saw some interesting stat today when it comes to the swing rate, and it's still super early in the season. But if the season were to end today, it'd be the highest in Major League Baseball since that had been tracked. Is it possible, like the team's just too aggressive right now when it comes to that?
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that we're swinging too much. We're not letting the at bats come to us, and I think that's a function of guys pressing. I mean, I want to really convey that. Our guys care, and they're frustrated, and they want to break out, and they're probably being too aggressive in terms of trying to break out and making it happen versus just letting it happen and letting the game come to them. And I think that's contributing to our high swing rate, and it's something we have to dial back. We have to become more patient. We have to let the game come to us, and we have to put pressure on the opposing pitcher by working the count, walking, getting to first base. And I think if we can do that, and just make the pitcher really come in the zone. And once he does, our hitters are good. These guys will hit pitches in the zone. But right now we're putting ourselves in too many bad counts by chasing outside the zone, which takes the pressure off the starting pitcher instead of putting it on him.
See, why then you always talk about the process and the way that you go about things. How is your patience, though, with your approach? And you just talked about, you know, but I mean approach from a staff standpoint.
Well, I think the staff has done a good job. I mean, the staff continues to pour into our guys. I mean, we have such a hardworking staff, and we've had numerous conversations with all of them about what we need to do and how we can change the messaging, what we need to do in terms of roster construction, personnel changes, lineup construction, just any way, training, mentality, everything that you can imagine, we are discussing and just trying to find a way. And I think there's also balancing that with remaining patient, knowing that we have some really good players who are off to bad starts, but their baseball cards suggest that over time they're going to have really good years. And so there's a fine line here. I mean, ultimately, the way I look at this right now is we're 15-13, a game out of first place. It's the end of April. We have not played our best baseball. It's very, very clear to me that we have not played our best baseball. Yet here we are in a pretty good spot. The goal for us is to continue to get better and better as the season goes. And by the end of the year, we are a complete team that is clicking on all cylinders and playing our best baseball. And, you know, that hasn't happened. We haven't let the season get away from us right now, but there's some major things that we have to correct if we're going to become the team that we expect to be. And that's the goal here, and we're working towards that every day.
So the Rangers president of baseball operations, Chris Young, here with you on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Updates here on situations that are evolving. Jack Leiter, 37 pitch first inning in his return, but then pitched pretty well. Are you guys happy with how he settled down after that first inning?
Yeah, he did settle in, and you know, we wish Jack had been able to go a little bit deeper in the game. Part of that is just being a young pitcher, and it was his first time really coming off the IL and jumping back in there. His first two starts were so good, and I think we were hoping that he could resume where he had left off in Cincinnati before he got hurt. But, you know, he just a little jittery out there and wasn't dialed in the first inning. And the pitch count caught up to him. So we knew we had 75 to 80 pitches in the game. Unfortunately, the pitch count got so high in the first that he wasn't able to really get deep into the game. But he did settle down. And now the key is going to be that he's feeling fine and that he, you know, next outing, it's more competitive and he gives us a better chance to win.
CY, and being a former starting pitcher, though, is there pressure on you to go out there and knowing that your team's not scoring a lot of runs? But is there more pressure on you as a starter to just try and hold that thing together and hopefully you do score more runs?
Yeah, guys, it's a great question because, you know, I kind of go back to my mentality when I pitched, and that was that external circumstances did not matter, that my job was to make one good pitch after the next. And if I do that 100 times in a row, it's going to be a good game. There's going to be a good result. The reality is that we're human and that we right. have natural thoughts that, hey, I don't want one run to beat me. One run here may beat me. And so you do put that pressure on yourself and you become a little bit finer and you think you have to be perfect and you want to pick up your teammates too. I mean, these guys are great guys and they care about each other and they want to pick up their teammates. They want to say, I'm going to throw a shutout today and you guys are going to win even if we win 2-0. But in doing that, you put a little extra pressure on yourself and your margin of error shrinks and all of a sudden you kind of work yourself into some trouble. And so I'd be lying if I told you it doesn't impact the pitcher's heads. I think it's just natural. It's a human component of the game. That said, the job of the pitcher is just to go out and compete and make one good pitch after the next. And he can't control what's happening on the offensive side. So he might as well not worry about it.
What are your thoughts on how Evan Carter is doing right now in Round Rock? And what are you hoping to see from him before you consider bringing him back up?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Evan had a great week last week, kind of turned the corner. He's made some mechanical changes and really kind of getting back in the flow of playing. That's one of the things that he missed so much time last year that we really didn't get him out there regularly in spring training because we were building him back up. And now he's had a chance to kind of get back in the rhythm and the flow and see consistent pitching and at-bats and make mechanical adjustments. And, you know, we'd like to see this continue. I mean, we've had a really good week. Evan's doing great. He's such an important piece to our team this year. And our hope is that if he continues to perform like he did last week, you know, my guess is we'd probably see him here pretty soon.
How about Corey Seager?
Corey's doing well. We dodged a bullet on his hamstring. I won't say we're out of the woods yet, but he's doing much better, continues to improve every day. The MRI showed just kind of a minimal grade one hamstring strain. Certainly, I was not with the team when it happened, and when I saw it, immediately hold my breath. We got the MRI the following day and confirmed kind of that it was not as bad as it could have been. And, you know, there's something we're going to have to manage. We've got to get Corey back out there. We've got to find a way to keep him on the field a little more consistently. He is critical to our team. And when you have Corey and Wyatt and Smitty going like they are, you know, it gives you a better chance to score runs. It gives you a better chance to win. And it also takes some pressure off the other guys. And so we really haven't had those three guys going together at any point this season. You know, minus a game or two here and there. So to get those three guys back on the field together, likely at the top of the lineup, it's critically important for our success. So my hope is that Corey will be ready right around the 10-day mark, and we'll have him back in there and get these guys hot.
See, what I wanted to ask you about Marcus, and with him being pushed down in the lineup, how do you feel that has gone so far? Better at bats, more work? Where do you kind of go with that?
Yeah, we've seen some improvement. You know, Marcus is such a competitor. He's such a worker, and he feels a responsibility to perform. And, you know, I think he's one of the guys that's put a little pressure on himself. The swing rate has increased a little bit. We need him just to kind of get back to being who he is. I think there has been some improvement where he's been hitting in the lineup. And, you know, I think that if we can – Marcus is really good with runners in scoring position. He's mm-hmm. one of our better hitters. And so not hitting him leadoff, the hope is that we'll have more opportunities throughout the game game for Marcus to come up with runners in scoring position. And I think he had six RBIs on the road trip. So, you know, it did pay off in some ways. And I think as we see Marcus continue to get in the flow, he's notoriously a slow starter. His at-bat quality will go up, his walk rate will go up, and it's going to put more pressure on the opposing team in the middle of the lineup where he's been hitting.
We got a familiar name in Dane Dunning being recalled to the Rangers squad. What's the plan for him?
Yeah, Dane is going to be in the bullpen in long relief. We felt pretty thin tonight in terms of our coverage if Patrick Corbin doesn't go deep in the game. So wanted to have some coverage there, really kind of give the bullpen a blow. I can't emphasize how good the bullpen collectively has been. These guys have been so good, and really they haven't had much of a margin for error. And so, you know, making sure that we protect these guys and we don't run them into the ground is going to be important. So we brought Dane back tonight to give us length coverage in the event that, you know, the game doesn't go well and we need somebody to kind of eat some innings. And Dane, to his credit, we took him off roster at the end of spring training. He's really embraced this. He's gone to Round Rock. He's worked on some mechanical changes. His stuff has gotten better. It's improved over the last three starts he's had. And we know that when Dane's had his best, he's a very good major league pitcher. So the hope is that we see that version of Dane and that he stays here, you know, hopefully for the rest of the year.
CY, have you seen this 100 guys versus gorilla debate happening on social?
I have not. I need a little chuckle today, and I think you guys just gave it to me, but I haven't seen it. I'm not on social media, so you guys have to explain it to me.
I thought you told us you don't do a lot of social, but yes, the debate is out there. If you had 100 guys, you know, would they have a chance in hand-to-hand combat against a gorilla? No weapons allowed.
I'm taking the gorilla.
Yeah, I think that's the smart choice.
Who would be your number one overall pick for the Rangers, though, if you had to draft a guy on the Rangers to be a part of the 100 dudes taking on the gorilla? Who do you think's got the tenacity and the toughness and the strength?
Well, I think it's our left fielder is a pretty good one to start with. This guy's not afraid of anything, and Wyatt is just so he's everything we want in terms of a competitor and a fighter. And I, you know, maybe I'd take Wyatt against the gorilla.
CY, thank you so much. Give him hell this week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Guys, thanks so much.
There he goes, the great Chris Young here with you in the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch. It's brought to you by the Frankels as well. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And Cars for Kids, donate today, carsforkids.org. Might have to talk about some Wyatt Langford MVP stuff if we have another month like this.
Yeah.
Guy, that week that he just had coming off of injury, let me just hit 525 for you. Sound good, guys?
Yeah, no big deal. Woo. Corey Seager-like stuff right there.
It is. Okay, thanks to the Chris Young Show. He's every Monday at 420. What are we doing next, Woolchuck?
All right, let's hop aboard the Chuck Wagon. We'll preview Game 5 for your Dallas Stars, and don't mention a wide receiver as a need for the Buffalo.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Low bills. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Let's make it just a little bit better with a Chuck Wagon. Here's Zachary.
All aboard. Let's get set for Game 5 tonight. Certainly the Avs, well, they just spanked around our Dallas Stars in Game 4. It's one we're just going to wash, we're going to rinse, and we're definitely not going to repeat that one, okay? It's going to be a different Dallas Stars.
Hey, don't tell that to MoneyPuck.com, though. No, I heard Bobby on the beat this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
MoneyPuck had it like a 51% chance they should have won that game.
51%?
Isn't that crazy?
At four, a man. Wow. Well, Gabriel Landeskog was certainly very, very good.
MoneyPuck.
First goal since that 2022 Stanley Cup final in Game 3 for him, and he had Otter, who ended up getting pulled just the fourth time in his 49 playoff career that he's played 40 minutes or less. Since 2022, Otter's had the second most postseason wins with 25 behind Sergei Bobrovsky, who, of course, is a cup winner himself, who's had 34. That's pretty damn impressive. It just shows you, you know, how good Otter and the Stars have been during these last couple of playoff postseason runs. But Mikko Rantanen, we need you, buddy. Only 1 point, which was an assist through the four games in this series, and he's got 12 shots on goal. That's the second most on the team behind Roope Hintz. But a game five where you know the odds of winning the series just shift greatly to the winner of game five, because now you've got two opportunities to close this thing out. This is the night that you need Mikko Rantanen to step up. DeBoer put in the call during his conversation with reporters earlier this afternoon, saying, hey, our top guys, they've been really non-existent. They haven't shown up so far. This is the time they need to do it. Roope, we need you. Mikko, we need you. Wyatt Johnston, this is the type of game we need, an offensive eruption. Stars haven't had that yet this series. When a series is tied at two, history's on the Stars' side. They've gone 18-14 in the scenario. Colorado has gone 11-12 in the history of their franchise in this scenario. So we need you. It's another late puck drop. It's going to be 8:30, probably end up being closer to 8:45-ish. It'll be on ESPN again tonight. But let's go Stars. And if you're heading out to the barn, I know you're going to be bringing the energy, even if the Avs for some reason go up early, which seems to kind of be the case.
That's a night.
We got to hope the guy doesn't, because the Stars have really not led at all in this series. No. And yet they have two wins, which is quite remarkable. But stay engaged. We need you guys, okay? Go ahead and let the people know you are there. There will be no Miro Heiskanen. I'm heartbroken. I really, really thought that I could trust my gut. I can't trust it anymore. It was faulty on this one. I don't know when he's going to play. He might not play. But the Stars need to find a way to get it done without him. Let's go, boys.
You're absolutely right. You know, I would not rule out winning if you lose this game. I don't think this is a must-win situation, Wolchuk. You figured out how to slow down their power play. We just need to get some offense going.
Get the offense going.
We've already proven we can win two straight games against the Avs. Brian, why are you looking at me like that?
Man, I just don't know.
Not a must win. You can't count out the heart of a champion.
You get PDD to game seven, you know what's going to happen. So I look at it like you go win at Colorado, which you've won, what, four straight playoff games up there?
1-1 here recently.
Four out of five?
Yeah, to me.
Four out of five. Yeah, let's go.
To me, man, the other night would have been the one. You could have killed the snake if you won that game last week. They played awful.
They just played really bad.
You know, and they had and you wonder if the extra day off hurt them a little bit.
Maybe.
You know, you get in such a rhythm with how the playoffs work, but man, that would have been a great opportunity to take both those games. I know I said it was a difficult place to play. I still believe it is, but if the Stars would have found a way, and I know it's in the past now, but to look as bad as they did in that game, all that good feeling that we wanted to have, doesn't it make you feel like, well, now
I think they took care
we're
of business.
Best of three here.
They did what they needed to do. They got one back.
It's tough to eliminate a team, especially on their home ice, and that's what last night's game represented.
Well, I wasn't saying eliminate. I just said to me, if you
I know, but that's effectively what you would have
that's
done.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to end this thing now because the way the West is kind of shaken out.
That's your desperate team theory, Brian.
Yeah, I do. I love that. But to me, and they need to play desperate the next couple of games.
Yeah.
They need to have that. This West is shaping up like Winnipeg has got a shot of not winning their series.
St. Louis has bounced back in the last
two. You take the team that's had the most wins in the NHL out of this thing and a chance to go play St. Louis. And we know St. Louis was a team that won, 12, 13 straight games?
They're a pesky bunch.
But it's not Winnipeg.
No.
This thing could set up so well for you.
It could.
You can't let this opportunity slip through your fingers.
No, you got the Avs' best shot in game four. Now you need to return serve at home here in game five. Let's go get that victory. Hopefully we're having a Stars party, and maybe we even crank open Club Stars if they get the win tomorrow. Let's go to Buffalo Radio, WGR 550. They are our sister station. They get to have on Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. I guess they were complaining a little bit about the Bills draft and them not taking a wide receiver. That does sound a little bit similar, but Brandon Bean wasn't having it.
I was just listening to the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very... How so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just scored... Hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
He wasn't having it. He wasn't having it. He brought the spice, baby.
That is strong right there.
I actually think they had a pretty damn good draft, and they did go defensive heavy. There's mm-hmm. no question about that. I mean, they got some players we liked quite a bit. Maxwell Hairston, the Kentucky corner. They double-dipped at corner. They took Dorian Strong, the Virginia Tech guy that we thought maybe Dallas would be interested
probably
in.
Probably a good nickel there, yeah.
TJ what was the reply Sanders? There by the guys?
I would have
loved it. Is there an extended audio clip?
No, I didn't hear that part.
Man, that would be so awesome if they were listening to your criticisms and came on and started, like, retorting to you.
Yeah.
Because it would open it up for debate.
It would.
It's like, okay, cool. Gloves are off. Right now we can. Now we're gonna, you know, have a really perhaps tense 2 or 3 week interview series here before this thing totally breaks down. I don't think it's long term sustainable, but when you get a moment like that, I think as a broadcaster, it's an amazing day.
You got to say. So you think you're fixed by signing Joshua Palmer, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean
that's fixing your wide receiver needs.
So yeah, seriously. I mean the premise of it is we were right about Josh Allen, so you can't have any opinions about football again. Right. In a sports radio world where opinions are, you know, the content, that's the format. It's opinions about sport. So, you know, I'll go ahead and, you know, continue to do my job. I respect the job that you do. But I mean, everything that happens in sport is up for opinions.
Of course.
Right. That's
absolutely.
That's
sounds
what
like
we're
he's
doing
going
here.
Soft on us.
I could be wrong about the next 100 players that you take, Brandon Bean, and I'm going to have a fire ass take on number 101.
Heck that's yeah, what you got to do.
Okay.
You got to have the fire ass takes, man.
Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir,
Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
Josh Palmer.
I guess that's going to get it done.
It is
pretty cool how they're scoring so many damn points without good receivers.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's the Josh Allen effect right there. Wrapping up, the Chuck Wagon Commanders have agreed to a nearly $4 billion deal to build at that RFK Stadium site. They might get themselves a Super Bowl out of this whole thing. That'd be kind of fun, Super Bowl in D.C.
Did you say $4
billion? $4 billion,
yeah.
That is out of this world. Yeah. Unbelievable. Some of the renderings look pretty gorgeous.
I think it's a little bit more expensive building those stadiums in the East Coast. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
you
I think
could be
the,
very right.
Didn't the Vikings, I mean, the Vikings have a really impressive new stadium, and I think that was like $2 billion.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be as state of the art as anything you've ever
seen. Yeah, look what happened to that stadium in New York, you know? The cost for that and stuff like that.
Yeah, MetLife was a pretty penny. Yeah. And then we're going to have the new schedule release. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be coming up here Wednesday, May 14th. We'll get to look over and go through the win-loss. We did pretty well last year. We went 9-8.
9-8.
They ended up sucking way worse than that. Oh, no, we suck again. Yeah. We'll see what we do this year.
Yeah, the Titans have a new stadium coming in 2027, $2.1 billion. The Bills' new one in 2026, $2.1 billion.
Yeah.
And this one's going to be four?
Nearly $4 billion.
Wow, I can't imagine. I guess the real estate's going to be worth a lot more.
Maybe that. Maybe.
Yeah, that RFK site, maybe.
Union jobs and stuff like that, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like those, you know, those contracts are maybe a little inflated.
Inflated a little bit.
There's a part of the taxpayer's expense.
There's a part of us still hope all the money they spend and it still ends up urinating on their customers.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely. I hope it's sewage infested.
Full FedEx Field.
That's a lock. Okay, how'd the Cowboys do? Are they going to go bring back a former star receiver? Plus, we'll look at stars and abs a little bit more for you tonight as that face-off approach is coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.